relentless. And over the next few weeks, this really wants to look and talk about just God's relentless pursuit of us. That God really just, he loves us and he pursues after us. And when you look at relentless in the dictionary, it says someone who keeps trying and never gives up. And I'm so glad that God does not give up on me and that he continues to pursue me and continues to love me no matter the mistakes that I make. And so when you hear this and when you think about it, I just want you to think about that and I want you to let it sink in this over the next few weeks that God doesn't give up on you. He loves you no matter what, and he continues to love you. And so I think this is just definitely a good description. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking in the book of Hosea. You know, there's been a lot of people that's asked about the book of Hosea and asked if I was ever going to preach on the book of Hosea. That's really a joke. I was telling Amy that's the one book of the Bible I don't think anyone's ever asked me to preach out of or maybe even had a question out of. But we're going to be looking in the book of Hosea because I really believe it's a great example of just the story of just love and this pursuit. You know, and it's a story about a love story as well. And I know a lot of you, and the men are not going to raise their hands on this one, but a lot of you are like, you really like a good love story. And like I said, men won't raise their hand on that one. But you know how everyone, I know that everyone likes a good love story is this, the Hallmark Channel. That would not exist if we did not like a good love story. I mean, we all know when you turn it on, they're going to be two people on there that they're going to fall in love at some point into the show. It's going to snow and they're going to kiss at some point in there. And so we know that we like a good love story. And so this story is about this love story. But it is also probably one of the strangest and most tragic love stories that you will ever hear. But it's also one of this beautiful love that you most likely will ever hear as well. And so it starts, it starts with this guy named Hosea. And it takes place in approximately 715 B.C. And Hosea is this prophet. And a prophet basically is just this. He's a messenger of God. And so when they get a message from God, then they go and tell everybody else this message from God. And so Hosea, that was his job to do, was just to communicate to the people. And the story, is, like I said, is this unique love story. And outside of the cross of Jesus, I really can't think of a better love story that is communicated about God's love than this particular book. But prophet Hosea, he was also in this very troubled marriage. And it's a powerful testimony of our tendency to be unfaithful to God. And the more important, it's God's tendency to remain faithful to us no matter what. And so as we look into the book of Hosea, I really think you can break the book of Hosea into four parts. And the first part is just this, four parts or four acts. So the first act is just simply this. Hosea receives this very unusual instruction from God. And we see this in Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. And it says, when the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, go and marry a prostitute. And I'm pretty sure at that point in time, like, Hosea just kind of like waves his hands, his mouth drops. He's like, can you repeat what you just said? Because I know you meant to say something else. That is no way that is what you meant to say. And we have to admit, like, this is a little bit weird. And like usually when we're reading through the scripture and we run across Hosea and we start reading a scripture like this, here's what I think most of the time we do. Can I just flip over here and find something in the Gospels? There's got to be something a whole lot better and easier to understand than that. And so a lot of times when we get to these hard to understand things, we just kind of flip on through and flip on past them. And this was weird, but it goes on to say this. And I think it maybe gets a little bit weirder here because it says, so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. And this will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods. So let's just admit as we start this, like this is hard for us to wrap our mind around. It's hard that God would ask him to marry a prostitute, much less say, hey, she's going to have kids by someone else while you're married to her. And so this is this hard things to walk through. But God asked Hosea to do something he had never asked anybody to do before. And I don't believe he's ever going to ask anybody else to do it again. And so we see in verse 3, that as we can read on there, it said, so Hosea married Gomer. And that kind of moves us to Act 2 in the book of Hosea. And over time, Hosea falls in love with Gomer. And can we just be honest? Like, there's two strikes against her already. Like, there's the strike that she's a prostitute. But who is going to marry someone named Gomer? Like, she's not going to get past the first round of The Bachelor or anything like that. Just that, I mean, that's two strikes that are going on there already this early in the chapter. But we see that over time she falls in love with her. And you continue to read there in Hosea chapter 1, it says they actually have two sons and they have a daughter together. And then we move on to Act number 3. And Gomer has this affair and Hosea is crushed. And I think that we can all say, well, duh, Hosea, didn't you really kind of expect that to happen? I mean, he did say that you were going to marry a prostitute to begin with. And Hosea, didn't you see that coming? But in Hosea chapter 3, verse 1, it says this: Then the Lord said to me, go and love your wife again. Even though she commits adultery with another lover, this will illustrate that the Lord still loves Israel, even though people have turned to other gods and love to worship them. And then we move on to Act number 4, and it's Hosea pursues and buys back Gomer. And we see this in Hosea chapter 3, verse 2. It says, Hosea bought her back for 15 pieces of silver and 5 bushels of barley and a measure of wine. And my first instinct when I read that is this: I'm so glad that we've moved to cash system. Can you imagine trying to pull some of those things out of your back pocket? And so here he is, and he's now buying back his wife out of prostitution. And what I want us to understand is this book just gives us an overview. Those four acts just kind of give us an overview of what this book is really about. And yes, this story is very difficult to understand, but at the same time, it's just this beautiful story of love. And throughout the scripture, God wants his people, when God talks about his people, he uses this illustration, this picture of marriage a lot of times. And when we understand this, it helps us understand scripture a whole lot more. I mean, in the New Testament, we're called the bride of Christ. And so we think about this marriage, and it's used all throughout scripture, this idea. And so for the story to make a lot of sense to you, we have to understand as Christians, we've entered into this marital covenant with God. And as far too often, we casually look to other things to give us something that God can only give us. And so we can many times be exactly like Gomer in the story. And the Bible defines that as idolatry. And there's different things that maybe we can allow to creep into our life that begin to be another god into our own life. And sometimes maybe that could be money. Sometimes that could be popularity. Sometimes that could be possessions. Sometimes that can be power. But there's things that just begin to creep into our life, and they begin to slowly take the place of God. And at the core of this book, and what we really understand here, is God pursues us for a relationship. The most overarching story behind this book is simply that God pursues us for a relationship. That's the what kind of God he is, that he relentlessly pursues us. And this relationship, as we know, that can get complicated, right? I mean, I can remember back, it's been a few years ago, but when Amy and I were dating. And when you stop and you think about that, like when you think about a dating relationship, there's like these normal progressions in a dating relationship that kind of begin to happen. I mean, the first one is very easy. It's like this normal progression, and you see, Amy and I were just friends to begin with. Like, we just begin to talk, and at some point, people begin to ask, so, are y'all dating? And we're like, no, we're just talking right now. We're kind of just kind of filling this out. So you kind of see this progression kind of going on, and then you kind of, as you move on to this progression, the next level is you're not really dating, you're just kind of talking, and then you use your friends to make sure that you are in the same place at the same time, and so that you can actually talk a little bit more. And so we would make sure we arranged that our friends would be at the same place, that so we could talk and we can continue on. And so then, as you continue on in this progression, you begin to exclusively date a particular person. So we begin to exclusively date, and exclusively date means like you can't date anyone in public anymore besides the person that you're doing, and or in private as well, just in case you're kind of wondering about that. And so we begin to date, and then as you different ones, you know, this can progress at a little different speeds for different people. And so, like, I know some people, like, they dated for 7 years before they got married, some of our friends. And so ours progressed at a little bit faster than that, more like 5 months. And then we got moved on to the next deal, and began to be engaged. And engagement, again, can last as long as you, I guess, desire that it wants to be. And then at that particular point, you move on to that you're married. And so you see this just normal progression that begins to go on, and these different progressions, and you see these different things, and we think about our progression today. And today, I think that maybe it's even a little bit more complicated than that. There's a little bit more to that because Facebook has come along, and Facebook tries to help you make sure that you can understand what the progression is. And so Facebook has these different categories for us that you can choose from. So if you're on Facebook, like, you have to decide, like, am I single? And if so, then I'm going to make sure that I put that on there. Or I can be in a relationship. That'd kind of be the talking stage of it. You can move, or there's exclusive dating. You can kind of figure out which one that might be. You can move to the engaged, and to the married, and to the civil union, and then to a domestic partnership, or in an open relationship, or it's complicated, or separated, or divorced, or widowed. Can we just say there's just a lot of different things that we can say about a relationship? But the one on there that really stands out to me is, like, it's complicated. There's a few things when I see that. The first one is simply this. I know some of you, when you see that, like, you want to pick up the phone and call the person because you really want them to explain to you, like, okay, what is it that's complicated about the relationship? And here's the problem with it being complicated. It can be complicated and be single. It can be complicated and be in a relationship. It can be complicated and be in engagement. And let's be honest, it can be complicated and be married as well. So you really, like, are trying to judge this whole complicated thing. But I think we can be safe to say that relationships can be complicated. And there's times that maybe you could just leave your status as it's complicated because you went through all of those and it just stayed complicated. And there's a lot of different variations when we stop and we really think about this. But when you think about your relationship with God, if you had to pick a category for that, I think a lot of times we would have to put, it's complicated. Like, I'm not really sure, like, where I'm at in my relationship with God. I'm not really where I want to be in my relationship with God. Things are just a little bit more complicated than I wish that it would be. And for some of you, maybe you've been a Christian for years and your faith has just kind of stalled out a little bit. And maybe there's different reasons for that. Maybe at one time in your life, you're really on fire for God and you're really serving God and you're really doing everything that you could for God. But as time goes on, it kind of seems that distant past kind of rose around, and maybe it was a loss of someone. Maybe it was a crisis that happened in your life that just robbed you from that simple faith that you had. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've been hurt by another Christian. Maybe you've been hurt by a friend or in some type of relationship. But along the way, you have to say that our relationship with God is just a little complicated, and it's really complicated from our side because we've made it a little bit more complicated in the things that are going on. And then for some of you, maybe you live this double life, and you would never thought that you lived this double life, and you can kind of go to church, and you can sing the songs, and you can kind of go through the motions, but the actions that you live the rest of the week are absolutely contradict what you say. And so, again, it's complicated. And the truth is, you really wish someone didn't know, and you're a little baffled by it, and you just have to say, it's just complicated. And for some of you, your relationship with God is like a married couple that no longer goes out. They no longer communicate anymore. They live in the same house, but they live kind of like divorced people. Like, they live in the same house, but yet they go through the motions, but they don't really speak. But deep down, we know that our relationship was meant for a lot more than that. And I think sometimes in our life that we can feel that way with God, that we know that our relationship with God was meant to be a lot more than where it is and what it's actually going through today. And so if we were totally honest, we would just have to say, it's complicated. And so what we have to see is this story of this pursuit of God for a relationship with us. even in those complicated moments. So God doesn't just pursue us for a relationship. He pursues it even when it's messy. Even when things get messy and things don't end up being the way that we thought that they would, He continues to pursue us. And we look at the story of Hosea, and we look at what happened, and she leaves Hosea, and she goes back into prostitution, and she has kids. And here we see Hosea go back after Gomer. And let's just admit, that's just a little bit messy, just a little bit weird, and a little bit hard for us to wrap our mind around. So I think in the same sense, sometimes it's hard for us to wrap our mind around this idea that God will pursue us for relationships even when it's messy. And I think it can be just as hard for us to wrap around, like, how can God love me if I did this? How can God love me? You just don't understand. This is what I've done. These are the things that I did. And so we have this hard time, but I want you to understand that God loves you even when the relationship is messy. And so we look at this book and we think that the easiest question to ask, I believe, is just, why in the world would God ask Hosea to marry a prostitute? It really doesn't make a lot of sense. And part of it going on here is, I believe, God didn't just want a messenger to deliver His message. I think God is so heartbroken by the betrayal of His people that it was not just enough for God to have a messenger to deliver a message. He needed a messenger that could feel the message, that it could truly understand God's love and how He truly pursues us. And I think Hosea could feel this and understand this as he was telling the message to the rest of Israel, that he just really began to understand this. So I want you to understand, God pursues us for our relationships even when it's messy. And Hosea's relationship was really messy. And so maybe today you have maybe your marriage is a little bit more messy than you would wish it was. Maybe your relationship with your kids is a little bit more messy than you wish it was. Maybe there is an affair. Maybe there is just different things that are going on, and you're just like, my relationship with God is just a little bit messy. But you know what Hosea did? He still went after Hosea. Hosea still went after Gomer. And as he went after Gomer, God is still going after you as he pursues this relationship with you. But not only does God pursue a relationship even though it's messy, but it's with this jealous love. And sometimes I think that as I've studied the book of Hosea, you really get this unprecedented look of this God's love. And I believe that the book of Hosea, that God is like shockingly transparent. He just lays it all out there. And so when we talk about God being a jealous God, let's be honest, that just makes us a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. But it says it in different places in the Scripture. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 14, it says this: "You must worship no other gods, for the Lord, whose very name is jealous, is a God who is jealous about His relationship with you." So let's just unpack that just for a moment, because it's really kind of important for us to understand this. Because our relationships are really performed by our perceptions a lot of times. And for many of us, we have this perception of who God is. And in this time of Hosea, it was not uncommon for people to have multiple gods. And I'm not talking about just like two or three. It could be like 10, 20, 30, 50. Like, they worshipped all these different gods. And they all these different gods, they all had these different requirements to do had. And so happy. So if this God just needed this other God over here, this God, I just need to do whatever it takes to make this God happy. So if this God just needed me to bring 10 ears of corn and lay it down in front of this God, then that's what I would do, and this God would be happy. And then I would look over at this God, and I would try to figure out what this God would be to happy, and I would try to make sure I would do it. And so depending on how many gods that particular person had, there could be 30 of them. They're trying to spend all this different time just trying to make that God happy. But God doesn't care what else you're doing. He just wants you to love Him. And so when you really stop and think about that, maybe when you think every week about what God you had to make happy, this was something very unique and something new, something that they really hadn't heard. And it's just saying very simply that God just wants you to worship God and not be trying to make everybody else and everything else and every other idol and God that we put out there happy. And so what he was saying in the scriptures is when we love him with this, he loves us with this jealous love, is he wants our attention to only worship him. And I read this statement this week. I just want to share it with you. And it says this: if there is no jealousy, there is no desire there for a relationship. And it just kind of hit me just a little bit different this week, because God wants this relationship with you. Because when we think about jealousy, we usually consider it as a negative word. Like, we think about someone being angry. We think about someone being envy. We think about this extreme possessiveness. We even think about this controlling kind of love. But a biblical portrait of God's love is different than that. He loves us with a passion, and he is devoted to his people. See, what God is asking here is he's just asking for us to love him in a relationship with him. And I think he doesn't want us just to go through the motions of just worshiping him. But just like a marriage, he wants us to be devoted. He wants us to care. And he wants us to follow him every step of the way. He's saying this: I want you to love me. I want your heart. That's what he actually wants. And this concept, like I said, it was something that they had never heard of, because human jealousy is concerned love that becomes angry. But God's jealousy is a concerned love that stays love. It doesn't turn to anger. In fact, God instead, he sent his son to die on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins when we began to turn away from him. And the more you read the book of Hosea, the more it just does not make sense. And you know why? Because it doesn't make sense. See, the love that Hosea has for Gomer, you have to understand, it doesn't make sense, because it represents the love that God has for us. And he loves us in a way that sometimes it just doesn't make sense, because he loves us and we're like, but I did this and I've done that. But wait, I've been worshiping other things and other idols and I've been doing this. See, in Psalm chapter 63, verse 3, it says this: your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. And you read that, I mean, like, God's unfailing love is better than life itself. I want you to understand this concept of just how much God loves you and how much he has this relentless pursuit of you. And I know that there are people that can feel like God hates them for a lot of different reasons, but it's just not true. God loves you. He pursues you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have a relationship with you even when it's messy. And he loves you with this jealous love, because all he wants is your heart. You know, I was talking about dating just a few minutes ago. And the one thing that happens after a dating relationship or engagement is you move on to marriage. And when you think about marriage, marriage, and this part of it is very simple. Like, to get married is this very simple process. And so basically, you have this one sheet of paper that says that you are married. Just one little bitty single sheet of paper, and it says that Amy and Matthew got married on this day many different years ago, and you can hold this one single sheet of paper. But another significant day that happens in a relationship is when you buy your first house. And when you finally make that commitment and you do it through all of that, And when you go to sign your mortgage, there is not just one piece of paper. Like, sometimes I think it's like this thick. I know it's really not, but I'm like, my hand hurts, and I'm like, how many times do you have to have me sign something? And then when you walk out, you sign all these papers, and what you're saying is, hey, I'm going to do this. You're telling the bank, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pay it on time. I'm going to pay it in this many years. I'm going to pay this interest. I'm going to do all this. And what the bank is saying, hey, if you do all of this, then I'm going to make sure that I give you the money to pay for your house. But if you stop doing any of those things, then I'm going to take that house back from you, and I'm going to keep it. And so when we walk out of there, we have this big sheet, thick sheets of paper that we have stuck in our closet or stored somewhere. But I think a lot of people view their relationship more like a mortgage than they do a marriage. And so a mortgage defines these minimum requirements that you're going to do and what God is going to do. But a marriage defines these maximum requirements between two people. So when you reduce your relationship to something like a mortgage, like I've got to do this, this, and this, and I'm going to do this so that God will do this, you're missing out on a lot of joy. And you're missing out on what God is calling you to do, because a mortgage relationship says, you know what? God, if you're going to love me, then I'm going to have to be a better person. And so I'm going to go through the motions, and I'm going to do everything that I can to be a better person. God, if you're going to love me, then I'm going to have to cuss a little bit less. And so I'm going to check that, make sure I do my best to check that box. God, if you're going to love me, then I'm going to make sure that I've got to make sure I pray, you know, at least 3 or 4 times a week. And I'm going to try to do my best to pray. And God, if you're going to love me, then I got to read my Bible, and I have to make sure that I read my Bible every single day. In your mind, you've signed off on all this stuff. In our mind, then we start thinking, God, I did these things. So now, God, what are you going to do for me? God, are you going to give me my health? Are you going to give me my happiness? God, are you going to give me my 2.5 kids that average? Are you going to give me that great house? Because I'm doing this for you. What are you going to do for me? That's not the kind of relationship that God wants. That sounds a little bit more like a religion and not necessarily a relationship. God says the primary image of a relationship is actually marriage, not a mortgage, which is all about looking a person in the eye and saying, I do. I'm with you. And I'm with you through thick and thin. I'm with you even when I make mistakes and when you make mistakes. And I'm with you when things are not going great. And I'm with you in richness and in poor. I'm with you. And when you get the relationship side, you don't have to serve God as a debt. You serve God in this relationship. And there's such a difference there. You serve others because God is good. You don't just get a blessing and want to give a blessing back to God. You give because God is worthy to be given to. You don't read the Bible to figure out the do's and don'ts. You read the Bible to get to know God better. And it's such a huge shift that we need to make from this realizing that our relationship with God is a lot like more like a marriage than it is a mortgage. And God is calling you to this relationship with Him. And I'm afraid that our fear is that one day we'll wake up and we'll find out that we're not worth loving anymore. Because I made too many mistakes and I've done too many different things wrong. And sometimes that fear can paralyze us, and sometimes that fear can really affect us in our relationship. And it keeps us making the same mistakes over and over again. And I think what you're going to discover through this complicated story of Hosea and Gomer is that God could not love you any more or any less than He does right now in this moment. And so, see, God pursues us for a relationship. And God pursues us for a relationship even when it's messy. And God pursues us in for a relationship even when it's messy with a jealous love, because all he wants is our heart. And so as we look at and we stop and we begin to look at this book of Hosea and we just barely begin to unpack it, I just want to ask you about your relationship. What is your relationship like with God? Today, do you just need to realize he is pursuing you for a relationship? I mean, it's pretty obvious when someone pursues someone in a dating relationship, like they make sure they show up at the same place. Like if they're at school, they'll make sure they wait outside the door. They'll make sure they're here. They'll make sure to get their friends to meet at the same place. You know that they're pursuing you. God is pursuing you for a relationship. And maybe today is the day that you finally say yes to him. And you give your life to Christ. And then some of you, you've done that. And you're kind of understanding this relationship with God. But what you need to understand today is God pursues a relationship with you even when it's messy. Even when you have to put "it's complicated" on your status. He still loves you. And my prayer is that we can understand what this jealous type of love is. That what God really wants from us is just our heart. He wants to have a relationship with you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come to you today, dear Lord, just thanking you for sending your son. I thank you for examples of this story of how much you really love us. I pray today that you would just help us wrap our mind around your love, to understand it just a little bit more, dear Lord. I pray, dear Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts. I pray that there's someone here that's never given their life to you, that they wouldn't do that today, dear Lord, that they would just remember realize your love. I pray for the ones that are here today, dear Lord, that their relationship's a little bit messy, and I pray that you realize that they would just realize that you still love them. And I pray for all of us, dear Lord, as we just do our best just to make sure that we give us your heart, dear Lord. And thank you for pursuing us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you'll stand, we're going to have a time of worship. I'm going to be at the back. And maybe it's a time for you that you just realize for the first time that God is pursuing you. Maybe it's a time you just pause and pray, because if you're honest, it's complicated and your life is a little bit messy and your relationships are a little bit messy with God. And just today, I pray that we can just focus on him and his love.